So, Joey Hot Rod De La Rosa, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm excited to be here, honestly.
Dude, we're really excited to have you. So excited for just all the Harlem Globetrotters, but just really honored that you get to sit down and do this interview with us especially. Thank you for that. We'll just start right at the beginning. I loved getting to know your story as a kid from the Bronx, admiring the Globetrotters.
Most definitely.
And then to now being a Globetrotter. But for anyone who doesn't know, what's just give us a quick summary of your backstory there.
Let me tell you a quick story about myself. When I was 9 years old, the Harlem Globetrotters came to my school on 183rd Street in the Bronx in New York City. And they was doing the exact tricks that I'm doing today, putting the ball around my body, throwing it under their leg, and I was like, wow, like, these guys are truly amazing. Like, I got inspired that day. I kept thinking about it. I kept thinking about those guys that came, and they was doing the tricks, and they was talking to us the whole time. And I was inspired to play the game of basketball. Later on that day, I went to my mom and my dad, and I said, Mom, Dad, Oyo Ahuga Baloncesto, today I'm going to play basketball. I'm going to be a basketball player. They looked at me and they was like, what? You're going to play basketball? I was like, yeah, Mom. I saw these guys come in the gym. They had a ball of the colors red, white, and blue. And they was doing tricks and spinning it on their fingers. And I was like, yeah, like I want to kind of be like what they are. Like, they inspired me to play the game of basketball. I told my mom. Later on, I went on to go into Mount Verde Academy, which is the number one high school in the country for basketball. That led me to earn multiple Division I scholarships, where I got the opportunity to go to St. John's University in New York City. And then I went on to try out for a few NBA teams, played overseas in places like China, Thailand, Malaysia, Nicaragua, República Dominicana. And then I get the phone call. Hey, would you want to be a Harlem Globetrotter? I paused and I looked at my phone and thought about the very first time when I saw the Harlem Globetrotters when I was 9 years old, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to this tryout. I did my thing at the tryout, and then a month later, they called me and signed me to a contract. So it's a whole bunch of full circle moments with them.
That is incredible. Yeah. I mean, what a story, though, to be able to...
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Me being from New York City, particularly in the Bronx, everything that goes on, and for them to come in there and, you know, talk to us and show us they ball handling and the tricks... They inspired me, and I was like, wow. Because I don't know if they would have never showed up to the school. Like, I don't know if I would have been a basketball player. I don't know what would I, you know. So for them to come to the school and show off the moves and the tricks, they inspired me to play basketball. And I was like, all right. And this is year three with the Harlem Globetrotters. It's been an amazing experience. And I'm looking forward to it every year. I look forward to it. I love traveling to different cities and meeting new people and seeing new things.
Man, that is awesome. I've looked at the roster for the Globetrotters, and there's a lot of tall guys on there. Zeus, Moose come to mind.
Yeah, Moose,
but
those my guys.
You clock in at 7'1". You are the tallest Harlem Globetrotter right now. Yeah. How does that factor into your style of play?
For me being the tallest Harlem Globetrotters, it helps a lot with my factor of play because just my ball handling alone separates me from any other 7-footer around the world. Moving the way that I move, I know that there's no other 7-footer in the world that is doing the same tricks that I'm doing, showing the flexibility, the height, the weight, and the mobility, and the individuality. So that's pretty cool. And then it helps me on the basketball court too. Me being taller than everybody, I could post up, I could shoot the sky hook. I just throw it over everybody and it goes in every time.
Yeah, that's amazing. speaking of that sky hook you were talking about, I saw that that's such a deadly move that you got. How did you develop that into your arsenal?
I used to watch like a lot of videos, like old NBA videos, like, cause I always been a post player. I always been a forward center. And I always played on the post. I played a little bit up top, like dribbling. But being on the post, I always saw, all right, if I'm going to play on the post, I want to be the most dominant player in the post. And then you look at guys who are the most dominant players that played on the post. So you look at Shaquille O'Neal. He was the most dominant. You look at Hakeem Olajuwon. Then you look at Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then these guys were all dominant. And one thing they all had in common, they all had the shot put and they had the jump hook. So I was like, all right. So they get as close as possible to the basket and they just flick it up there. It looks so easy. So you know what I started doing? I just started watching those guys every day. I started watching film on those guys. And then I started watching where they release the ball. When they release it, like, high, it goes in every time. It's a swish. When they shorthand it, it hits the front of the basket, but it still goes in. When they release it real low, it hits the back of the rim, and it goes in. Or sometimes it misses. So that was something I just kept working on the jump hook. Then I started adding some other stuff in there. Then I started jabbing, one dribble, hook. Then I started, drop step, hook. So, and then when I really saw that nobody could stop me, every time I kept doing the hook, I was like, oh, yeah, this is my go-to. It's too easy.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, this is my go-to right here. It's too easy. All I got to do is make the body contact, and I'm 7'1", 285 pounds. I make that body contact, so I let them feel me a little bit, and then I just throw that hook. So it's for you to come and try to block me, you got to go across my whole body, which is normally going to be a foul. So guys just, once they feel my body, they don't even try. They don't even try to block it. They know they can't. So for me, that's like in the game of basketball, that's like the highest percentage shot you can take. Just like it's like shooting a layup, which it is a layup because you're real close to the basket.
Right.
So
yeah, you put a really good flavor on it. Yeah. Too. I had seen something though where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar mm-hmm. talked about how it was super hard for his teammates to even try and replicate. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. That's incredible skill.
Yeah, I saw
for
that.
You to be able to develop that.
I saw that interview and stuff like that. I saw how he said, he was explaining it on the interview like I'm explaining it to you. And then, like I said, I saw tons and tons of film on how he just flicked that thing up there.
Oh, yeah.
Or it was all the flick of the wrist, not a lot of arms. He just made sure he finished real high to get it up there. So, and every time he shot it, it was a swoosh. So
yeah, well, you guys make it look effortless, but I mean, there's so much that goes into that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely.
What other tricks would you say are your favorite on the court? What else have you kind of developed with the Globetrotters? I got so much trick.
The Harlem Globetrotters, we have something called a magic circle, and you guys will see that when we come into town, which is, it will be like 6-7 of us, 6 guys in the middle of the arena, and we'll be showing our height, weight, flexibility, and individuality. So with that being said, with the individuality, you make up your own tricks. So before I was a Harlem Globetrotters, I didn't know any of these tricks. I learned them at training camp. I got with some of the veterans, like you said, I got with Moose, I got with Zeus. I still get with Zeus, and I still get with Moose. Those guys are my vets, and they told me, they say, hey, you could do this, you can do that. But even though they teach me what I can do, I still have to come up with my own stuff. So I have to, it has to tie in with my personality. So I like to dance, I'm Hispanic, so I try to make it look good. And then at the end, I got my signature move where I catch the ball between my leg and my elbow, and I do the call me, and then I pass it off to my teammates. So,
oh man,
yeah, they gotta come. They gotta come and see us. Yeah, they gotta come and see us and see what we do. We really make it happen.
Now you talked about veterans that you've worked with, mm-hmm. The Globetrotters, and I know you've mentioned before Buckets and Scooter, mm-hmm. and just so many guys that helped you grow and develop mm-hmm. as part of the Globetrotters. What's it like now getting to be that veteran to some of these rookies though? How do you?
I feel. When a rook come up to me and say, hey, how can you help me with something? I tell them, do what flows, what feel natural. So I tell them, hey, let me see what you got. And then I always something give them basic, like do this. This is basic. This, you start with the basic, then you start going faster, then you start adding something else. Because by you doing something basic and you messing up, that turns into something else. So you
right.
by you messing up, you might be like, oh, hold on. I was trying to do this, but I messed up and did this, and this looked good. I'm going to add that to my bag. So that's what was going on with me. Like, I got with Zeus. I got with Sweet Lou 2. I got with Moose and Bull Bullard. And those guys was like, yo, When you get your circle down, it's gonna be tough because there's no big guy right now. There's no big guy doing it like how you doing it right now. And when the younger guys, like going back to the question, when the rookies come to me and they say, "Hey, teach me, son," I teach them, you know, how do you do the ball spin? Or I teach them, yo, something basic as rolling the ball around your chest into your other arm, as basic as that. And then when they do that, I say, hey, try this. Throw the ball behind your back and catch it with your opposite hand. And then they be like, all right. And then they practice that. And it's so much. People don't understand, like, how hard it is because it's really hard. Like, people see us doing it, and they be like, oh, it's hard. Yeah. But so, I had some people come up. I'm working on my tricks in the gym or at the YMCA. People come up to me, and they be like, oh, I could do that. That's easy. I be like, you go ahead and try to do it. They'd say, oh, no, I can't do that. It's hard. How long did it take you? And it takes a while. But it's like anything else in life that you want to do. You want to get good at it. You work at it. Practice. Till you get better at it. And that's how it is. It's the same exact thing. You want to be a good basketball player. You want to be anything you want to do in basketball. You in media, marketing, you know. You want to get good at it. You have to do it so many times before you actually could do it. Like with your eyes closed. So. That's how it is.
I like that. Mm-hmm. You've already thrown out some big names out there, though, mm-hmm. and the Globetrotters, I mean, they're just famous for their nicknames.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, Hot Rod really stood out to me. I love the aura of it. It flows good. I want to know, what's the backstory there? Where'd that nickname come
from? Okay, so I went into training camp. And in training camp, I was the biggest dude there, and I was doing my thing. I was being dominant. I was dunking the ball. I was passing the ball. I was looking flashy. I was smiling every time. And people was like, yo, like, look at his personality. He's playing ball. He's having fun. He's good. And he's tall. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
So we going to give him Hot Rod. And then I was like, all right. I like that. So when they ask me, how you get your name, Hot Rod, I tell them, because I'm built like a muscle car on a basketball court, American made.
I love that. Now, the Globetrotters have played at APG FCU Arena before,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and you yourself, you played in some big games, mm-hmm. Big crowds there. How does the crowd factor into how you play? Do you feed off that energy excitement? How's that go for you?
It's we definitely feed off that energy. Every time we played here at APG, it's sold out. It's sold out. And with that being said, we go up there and we hear the people screaming, yo, Harlem Globetrotters. Oh, that does it for me. And I know that does it for my teammates because that just hypes us up. And that always leads us to having a good game. Because we give you guys the best product out there. We put the best product of Harlem Globetrotters out there. And so every time we come out here and we have that sold out crowd, I know when I come out here and I see the crowd and they scream my name, Hot Rod, and they say Harlem Globetrotters, I'm like, oh, okay, it's showtime. It's time to go out there and put that cape out and be a superhero. So, yeah, it's always love when we got sold out crowd. Even when it's not sold out, it's just love for people to come out there and support us because they've been supporting us for so many years, for so long, since 1926. So for us to still, you know, be breaking barriers and still, you know, being able to do what we do to go out there and inspire people, it's love.
That's awesome. Now, speaking of fans and crowds and stuff like that, you've talked before about how basketball is so much more than just the game.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
So what is it like getting to speak with these kids and just at events and camps, all the things that you guys do for them? What's that like?
Oh, it's amazing. The Harlem Globetrotters are goodwill ambassadors, you know, and I love going to these school visits and speaking to these kids, inspiring them. Because I know exactly how they feel when I walk in the room and I walk in spinning the ball and then I start talking on the mic and then I have the laser focus attention. Like, I know their focus. And I know exactly how that feels because I was that one young boy, 9 years old, in the Bronx on 183rd Street that got motivated one day because the Harlem Globetrotters came to my school. So I know exactly how they feel when I walk into their school or the auditorium and I'm talking to them and I'm spending time with them and I'm showing them ball tricks. I know that those kids are being inspired. And the Harlem Globetrotters are it's an amazing organization. You guys see everything we do on the basketball court, the 4-point shot, the amazing tricks, the slam dunks, but we do some pretty cool things off the court. We go out in different communities and help nonprofit organizations, and we see how can we help, how can we assist. And they say, hey, we're putting up some walls in this rec center, and we're trying to put a rim up. And we say, okay, we're going to help you put this rim up and, you know, screw them back to the backboard and help them out, you know, because I know that they're trying to make the environment that they live in better for the kids who are the future. So
right.
it means so much. And people, our fans and everybody can go out and watch this, because we have our TV show called the Harlem Globetrotters on NBC and Peacock. We're actually on our second season, so you can watch that on Peacock and NBC, and you can watch it on Telemundo's every Saturday. It's called the Harlem Globetrotters Ganando con la Comunidad.
That's incredible. That's yeah. And I mean, like you were saying, that's just such a great just circle back of mm-hmm. like your story, and just what a connection you can have with those kids there, of being able to inspire them, and just I mean that's it's what basketball's love. All about. Yeah, like you said, love. That's it's awesome. Love. Now you've played overseas a bit mm-hmm. in your time, and you travel a lot with the Globetrotters. Mm-hmm. What would you say is the favorite place that you've traveled to?
My favorite place that I traveled to, I would say like Asia, China. Asian country. I'm from the Dominican Republic. I love right. Dominican Republic. But yeah, so that would be Dominican Republic, Asia, and Thailand and China. Just because you can always see how the people live out there, and you can see the culture, how's their culture compared to our culture here in the United States. So that's one thing that stuck out to me. And another thing is the fashion out in China and Thailand. Like, They're like, I like it. I like all of it. Like, I'm a big sneaker guy.
Yeah.
So I try to get all the sneakers that I can, all the good kicks and everything, and just their clothing. So when I was out there, I saw like they had the factory for everything. Like, they had Nike. They had like brands that they came up with. Like, you know. So I was like, okay, like this looks like this is cool. Like, I'll wear something like this.
Yeah.
So I'm big into fashion. So I was like, all right, I like the culture. I like how you guys have fashion, and then the different foods. You know, they don't eat the same thing that we eat. So I tried a few things from their culture, and I was like, all right, that I will be able to take that with me for the rest of my life.
Yeah. What would you say was your favorite dish then that you tried overseas?
They had curry shrimp.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that's what I was eating at, and then they had seafood pasta. But ooh, they made it like their style. Like, I'm pretty sure everybody had pasta and seafood together, seafood pasta. But yeah, the way how they made it and cooked it with their sauce and flavor, it was fire. It was fire.
Mm. Yeah, I love a good curry, but I can't imagine how good it'd be just authentic,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the sauce was always on point. It was never too salty.
Yeah.
Or it was never like, oh, it's nasty. Nah, it was always good, man. And, you know, I used to eat that with white rice or Chinese dumplings, or I used to switch it up. I'm a bit of fish and some, like rice. Like, I used to switch it up every single day. So it was love. It was love. Mm. I really enjoyed it. I would say the tough time for me while I was over there was the time difference. When I was away and I would try to talk to my family, or especially when I talked to my mom, because it'll be 9, 10 in the morning over there, but then it's 9, 10 in the afternoon, at night here. So
right,
my parents will stay up and talk to me. So that will be like the only hard part for me, the communication, because of the time difference.
Do you travel any in like your off season? Do you travel yourself personally, or is it usually just like with the teams you're with and the Globetrotters?
I travel with the Globetrotters. Like, you look at our schedule, we're visiting 400 cities.
Yeah, you're all over the place.
Yeah, but when it's the off season, when I'm with my family, I enjoy traveling with my family and going to the beach. And sometimes I also enjoy just staying home, like catching up on TV shows that I started up, and, you know, enjoying a home-cooked meal.
Oh, yeah.
And just relaxing, because it's tough. Traveling is really tough. Like, people don't understand. But we do it for our fans. We love it. If we didn't love traveling, we didn't love being Harlem Globetrotters, we wouldn't be here. So I enjoy traveling, and because I know I get to go out there and inspire people.
Yeah, but like you said, I'm sure that does take a toll on you.
Most definitely.
Physically. What does the rest of your off season look like? Do you have hobbies you enjoy? Mm-hmm. I know you said you like catching up on some TV shows and stuff. Tell me about that.
Yeah. I like walking on the beach, like long walks on the beach. So when I'm in the Dominican Republic, I'm just chilling.
Oh, I bet they're beautiful out there.
Yeah, oh, most definitely. And then just different places. Like I want to go to Jamaica this summer. I want to go to Dubai. I think the family decided my mom and everybody we're going to take the family trip to Dubai. So that's going to be fun. And then in the off season, I just chill, really relax. And then, like I said, you know, for us, the Harlem Globetrotters, the season starts December 25th. So we just, I do my workouts 2 months before that. So I start working out around October, late September, October. And I start, you know, getting back in shape and doing everything I got to do so I can be ready for training camp, because it's a lot. So.
Yeah. You're talking about TV shows and stuff. I saw in your bio mm-hmm. that your favorite movie is Back to the Future.
Tell me a little bit
about that.
That's like the best movie of, like, I ain't going to say of all time.
Yeah.
But for me, that's like one. It's up there, because I remember watching the Back to the Future since I was like young, you know, and I always thought it was cool for you to jump in a car, and they'll take you to anywhere you want to go in terms of timeline. You know?
Right.
So if you wanted to go back 10 years ago, or you wanted to go to the future 20 years plus, it could take you there. So it was funny. It's funny how, you know, everything that, you know, Dr. Brown and Marty McFly and everything.
Yeah.
So the way how they was and how they treated each other, you know, Marty got to know Doc Brown and they developed a friendship and they, you know, they cared about each other. I was like, man, this is neat. Yo, Back to the Future comes on every time. Like, when I catch it on TV,
mm-hmm.
it could be halfway done or anything, halfway, 20 minutes in the movie. I just sit there and watch it.
Oh, you got to jump right in.
Yo, I like it. And I like the first one. I like the second one. I like the third one. I know they're on Broadway now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I want to see that, because I was scrolling the other day, and I was like, oh, they doing, like, you know, the song on Broadway and everything. Huh. I gotta look into that. So, and then, but yeah, that's like a classic movie for me. That's one of my faves. One of my favorite movies, because it's just the thought of you jumping in a car and taking you wherever you want.
Yeah.
In timeline. Like, I remember they had to go back before Marty McFly, he met his parents.
Yeah.
When they was in high school. So he was like, and then his mom was trying to kind of talk to him. And he was like, no. Like, because if you talk to me or anything, you fall in love with me.
Mess up the whole timeline.
Yeah, it's going to mess up the whole timeline. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, it's funny. I always tell people, you got to watch that movie. That movie's so fire.
I've actually never seen the sequels. So
you never seen it?
I've seen the first one. I haven't seen
2 and 3.
Yeah, so I'm going to watch 2. I'm going to have to sit down and watch them now, man.
You got
to
watch 2 and 3.
Put me on them.
And I feel like that movie, just like, they gave people ideas out there. Like, for example, the hoverboard.
Yeah.
Like, they had that hoverboard stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you remember, a few years back, they started making, like, hoverboards.
I remember that.
On wheels, you
know? Yeah.
And so I felt like they gave people the idea to come up with that. And it was like, oh, we got to have that too, so.
There we go.
Yeah.
The Globetrotters, you guys are all a team. Mm-hmm. I would never make it a contest, but I need to know mm-hmm. which mascot is your favorite, Big G or Globy.
I like both of them.
Yeah.
They bring out two different personalities.
Yeah, that's why I said I wouldn't want to make you choose.
I
need to know.
Yeah, Big G is funny.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you come to a Globetrotter game, he just starts dancing.
Yeah.
And then he just, you know, he just starts dancing, and then he falls or trip over a towel, and then he loses his eyes. And
yeah,
then we gotta help him and get him back. So that's funny. And Globy, he just fun dancing, backflips,
yeah,
and all that. So
Big G's the older brother,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And then Globy's
kind of
They got
Big
a good
G
dynamic
was the first
there.
One, and then we brought Big G, a little G. So yeah, Globy,
That's awesome.
But it's fun. It's fun. I wouldn't pick between both of them because
both
of them, they just – they do – they unique in their own way, and they both funny, so.
Yeah, I don't want to drive a division there.
Nah.
Yeah, yeah. Just so glad that you sat down and talked to us, though. Just I really appreciate you coming in and taking time for this interview.
I appreciate you bringing me in here and getting to know me and getting to know – the history of the Harlem Globetrotters.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little starstruck, man. You know, it took me a second even just sort of getting the right vibe here, man.
Yeah.
But so just thank you so much, Joey Hot Rod De La Rosa.
There you go, roll that R, De La Rosa.
Oh, I can't do that. But just thank you so much for sitting down, doing this interview with us.
Thank you for having me, for
and,
sure.
And good luck to you and the Globetrotters. I know you guys are going to kill it out there February 21st.
Thank you.
At APG FCU Arena.
Show up. Be there. Pull up. It's a day you don't want to miss.